Well, you thought this was Advent, didn't you? Why are we talking about the second coming in Advent season? Well, let me take a few minutes this morning and try and explain that to you. So today is the third Sunday of an Advent. And we celebrate how Jesus comes to us in three different ways. We celebrate the first coming at his birth some 2,000 years ago. And we reenact that birth in the pageants and in the carols. We celebrate his coming amongst us now, most notably in word and in sacrament. We celebrate how Jesus comes among us in one another. We celebrate Jesus' second coming when he will come again to judge creation, bringing in a time of peace and joy that is spoken of so eloquently. The end is coming, of what we can be certain, but we don't know when. So as I was preparing this, I was thinking about how our congregation has been touched by several deaths this year. This only serves to reinforce that we do not know when our end is coming. When each of these people were born and growing up, living their lives in the activities that concerned them, they had no idea that this was the year that would be their last. There are many people who want to know the time, and they spend much energy and effort trying to discern that time. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Most of these predictions come from bad news. They come from earthquakes and fire and torment and social rift. How many times since the pandemic have you been part of a conversation that suggests the time is close? How many times have you been part of a conversation that suggests that God is fed up and he's going to end it all soon? Well, maybe so, but maybe not. I didn't take the time to look it up so I could quote the chapter and the verse in the book. But 2,000 years ago, they were saying the same thing. When Babylon overtook Israel, destroyed the temples, captured the people, made them slaves, I'll bet you there was a lot of conversation saying, the time is near. But then, as now, we don't know. Millions of dollars have been made on books and articles about the rapture. They make much of this last times, and it dwells on fear and anxiety. Now, I said that. I wrote it here. But I often think, why do we fear the rapture? I don't. I honestly don't. And I can tell you there's some days I look forward to it. They may be an exciting read, but certainly they are not a good biblical read. These books and these articles on the rapture, and I have read a lot of them, and they are fun to read. We will not know the time, and to assume that we can is to presume to know more than the Son of God. He said, I don't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. So who are these people that are saying, I know more than Jesus did? Where is that coming from? What is the purpose of it? And why are we talking about it in Advent? The desire to know the end is very much a part of our society. If we know when the end will come, we can do pretty much as we like, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I better spend this afternoon getting ready. Because I had too much fun being naughty this past week. Well, part of that's true. I won't tell you what part. Excuse me. But it's true. So now we can see the wisdom the Father had in not letting us know the time. Today's text from Matthew speaks how ordinary life will be when He comes. So we shouldn't be looking for anything unusual. The text talks about people will be eating and drinking. Well, we do that way too often. People will be getting married. People will be baptizing their children. People will be out working in the fields. Martin Luther said this, that if he knew the end of the world was coming tomorrow, he would plant an apple tree this afternoon, because he knew tomorrow wasn't the truth. And that tree has the opportunity to grow to maturity. Luther was not given to speculation of the end times. He focused on the purpose of the world which God intends for the present time. What happens in the future does not excuse you from what God requires of you here and now. If we knew the end is near, the temptation is to hole up in a bomb shelter or an armed fortress in the mountains and wait. And we would create a fortress mentality of us against them. But instead, because we don't know, we are to live with uncertainty. An uncertainty of what will happen, but when a certainty that Jesus Christ is in the midst of us now. There begins the Advent. Jesus Christ was born. Certainty took place with His birth. Because now we know there is a second coming. The prophecies of the second coming in the Old Testament were with uncertainty because Jesus Christ has not been born yet. But now He is. Now it's certain that He will come back again. Now it's certain that He was born for the purpose of forgiving our sins. So when we stop trying to figure out when, we have energy to listen to what God is calling us to do. Advent preparation is about removing the noise from our lives so that we can hear about the coming of Jesus Christ. Advent is a time to watch so we don't miss His coming. Now, did you ever make that connection? Advent is a season to celebrate the birth of Christ, but to look for the second coming. If we ignore and trample our neighbors today in our eagerness, listen to this, in our eagerness to be religiously prepared to welcome Jesus tomorrow when He returns from heaven, here's the punchline, we will not be prepared at all. We are to live in constant readiness. That readiness starts with the Advent season. Or the Advent season is a reminder that we need to continue to be ready for the second coming. If we are in constant readiness, attentive to Jesus, who gives us hope today and for tomorrow, if this was your last day on earth, listen to this, now I'm asking you a question. If this was your last day on earth, how would you spend it? What would you do this afternoon if this was your last day? I got some suggestions. First of all, we'd probably get our financial stuff in order. Our nature, right? Second of all, we'd probably call our kids. I know Rainey would. We'd probably get our stuff all in line. We'd make sure that last house payment was made. Or that last car payment. Do you notice everything that I mentioned here just now are worldly things? Are things that doesn't matter if this is our last day? Because all of these things will come to place. They will all be taken care of in the manner that God the Father Almighty wants them taken care of. Our only task is to be ready. And if this is our last day and we're preoccupied with getting all of these earthly things done, then we are not ready. So I ask again, what would you do today if this was your last day? Take that question with you this week. And I just beg you to take time and dwell on it periodically throughout the week. Maybe throughout the season. Maybe forever. The place of worship in our community and congregation has been very much in my mind this past week. How are we going to continue to worship here at Carlisle after I'm gone? What is the new pastor going to ask or demand or suggest? We've been pretty emphatic with the DS about the type of pastor that needs to be appointed here. And she listens to us. So it's my hope and my prayer that our style of worship will continue. But the important part is, no matter what, worship is what must continue.
Amen.
Thank you. Because that is what Advent is about. The Son of God is born. And we now have the certainty of worshiping Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul tells us not to neglect being together. So as I spent time with those who have lost loved ones, it became so clear to me the extent to which we rehearse our death in our worship. Do you ever think of that? How we rehearse our death and make it part of our worship. I'm going to meet with Roy Harrington's family tomorrow morning, and we're going to lay down the order of worship for his service. And I happen to know already what they want. They want it just like we did for Anita, his wife. They want this song and this song and this song. They want this message and this verse and this scripture and this and that. We work very hard at rehearsing our death. We prepare each time we come together the promises and the hope that carry us through the difficult times of death. And I have proof of this. Here are some of the familiar phrases that we hear today at the time of people's death. It's okay, honey. You are a treasured people of God. Or, this is just a foretaste of the feast to come. I know you've heard this one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The peace of the Lord be with you. And it goes on and on and on and on. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting this is wrong. And I'm not suggesting that we need to prepare a celebration service of loved ones that have passed. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am saying or suggesting that we run a risk of celebrating the death more than we do the birth of our Savior. Excuse me. How much time do we spend celebrating the birth of Christ? And how do we celebrate that? Oh, everybody's coming home. But I got a really, really hard decision. Am I going to have ham or am I going to have turkey? Or are we just going to go out to the restaurant? Boy, I got to make sure I spend the same amount on this grandkid as I did the other one for gifts. What do you think they'd like? I want to make sure I do the right thing. I want to make sure I... It goes on and on and on. The hustle bustle is unbelievable to a point, at least in my opinion, that it disguises the celebration that we should have. And that is to gather together with people and worship Christ Make him the reason for the season. Not all these other gobbledygook things. Oh, they're fun. But they're also intense. The amount of work is unbelievable. To a point for some of us, we are so tired that it's hard to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We need to make time for getting together. As usual, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be centered around the Son of Christ, or God. It's going to be emotional. And we need to gather together to do that. Paul left us instructions to do just exactly that. Invite your friends and your relatives. If you have family over, bring them along. We need to take our time together seriously. But that time needs to be in hope and in joy. Our hope is the one who came, who is among us, and who will come again. That is our joy. We are to heighten our awareness of his second coming. We are to live in the light of that day, even before it appears. That, among other things, is what Advent should be. Yeah, we are to live with uncertainty. But an uncertainty about those things that really do not matter. We mentioned them this morning. Our certainty must be in the one who is with us and will continue to be with us, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the certainty of Advent. That is the certainty of our celebration. That is the certainty of how we must live our life. Advent is a time to refocus and regroup. What can I do this year in Advent that I neglected to do last year? Or you know what? I didn't know about this last year, but I do this year, and we're going to do this. That's what refocusing is. And when we refocus, we are renewed. And when we regroup, we share it with others. Christ came as a baby. And we celebrate that. But Christ will come again. Of that, we are assured. It is our certainty. Christ lives in our midst today. He is here. I pray every Sunday morning that the Holy Spirit fill this sanctuary, that each and every one of us feel his presence. And I want to announce this morning, in the 5 years that I've been here, he hasn't let us down once. Not one time have we sat here and celebrated without the Holy Spirit. Not once. If you felt him, awesome. If you have not felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you need to get down on your knees and talk to God. And ask Him to help me refocus and regroup. That is where the living is today. So I'll close with this once again. If this was your last day, what would you do this afternoon? And all of God's people said,